Okay, and welcome back. And it's going to be a very interesting 9/11. This is 9/11. It's been 14 years, and it's something that you kind of ask yourself, what have we learned in 14 years about this? Dr. Judy Wood, Ph.D., has been involved in this from nearly the beginning. I've had Judy on the program several times. The last time was over 4 years ago. And she's a remarkable woman, has her own view of things, and it is backed up with an extraordinary amount of data. She dug and dug and dug. And my question to Judy is, well, first of all, hi, Judy. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. How's that crazy scientist, the mad scientist you're with?
The friend of yours. I haven't seen him lately. He's on the West Coast.
Yeah, still there. Okay.
Having a good time, though. He's doing something else and is having a good time, which is good. He deserves it.
Good. Oh, he has. He's paid a price. He has come up with some wonderful things that they've been thrown back in his face. Just crazy. Anyway, I'm glad he's doing well and you're still friends with him and so forth. So,
let me ask you a question. How do you cover up irrefutable evidence?
How do you cover up irrefutable evidence? A bulldozer? A thermonuclear explosion?
You call it an opinion or a view or a hypothesis.
Very good. Yeah.
But it works. The object is to create doubt in something that is certain. Empirical evidence is certain. Well, maybe the towers aren't there. Or maybe they are. I guess we'll never know.
How much, Judy, have you learned? Now, Judy Wood published her own book, hardback, beautiful book, on the subject of her investigation into 9/11. Extraordinary book.
And did you know that it's the only comprehensive forensic investigation on what happened to the buildings that exists in the public domain?
Yeah, I believe it. I don't know anybody else who's done the kind of work you've done. My first question is, how much have you learned about 9/11 since the last time you were on this program, four plus years ago?
Oh, a tremendous amount, and it keeps increasing too. especially the fact that this information continues to be covered up, and it needs to be covered up at all cost. Why is that? Well, for a while I thought it was because of the new type of energy technology that shows that we don't need to buy into the oil industry. You could have basically limitless free energy that's clean energy. And so I was thinking that technology needed to be covered up.
Sure.
And that was the objective. But there's something else I realized. Yeah, he who controls the energy controls the people. But he who controls their perception controls everything. And 9/11 was about perception management. I've known from the beginning that it was an attack on human consciousness. It sort of shut down people's ability to think.
It did, and you're right. It was an attack on people's consciousness and their subconsciousness. It went all the way down.
Exactly. And what went into their subconsciousness, I'm now finally figuring out and seeing it all come together. And it begins with 9/11. If people don't understand exactly what happened then, they're lost. They sort of became brainwashed and shut down. And if you've read my book, from front to back, the beginning of the book, I really have to
Judy, I have to tell you, I don't have time to read TV Guide. Not that I would, but I have looked at your book from front to back.
That's why you thought it was a view or a perspective. But when you read through it, in the beginning, wipes the slate clean. It isn't, the official story, there's no way you can think it's the official story, and then you realize it isn't what you thought it was either. And then you're ready to start looking at the evidence. It just takes you through the evidence. But people can't go through the evidence until they get deprogrammed from what other preconceived ideas they have. And that's the most difficult part because, you know, who wants to read a whole book? So that keeps the cover up pretty safe because people want a Twitter-length phrase, you know, a sound bite.
Sure.
they don't want to sit down and read a book.
No, the attention span of the average American is, I figure, 3 to 5 minutes on YouTube.
And that is part of the problem, too, because YouTube is controlling their thinking. And folks have asked why my book isn't in electronic form. There's several reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is when it's in your hands, you sit down on the sofa to read it, it's just you and the book. You know, you don't have to save face with anyone to realize you got hoodwinked. So you're more able to go through it because nobody's watching. But the biggest thing is you read something, like a paragraph, and you look into space, and you think about what you read. You contemplate what it means and the implications. And you put things together more, and you understand them more. When you read things electronically, you scan. And it's basically just looking at lists of talking points and grabbing them and run. You don't stop to think, does that make sense?
Stop to think about much of anything if you're the average American. You're a reactive, drooling zombie who is not a proactive, inquisitive researcher. They don't do anything anymore except walk around and get tooled and tricked and influenced by the various stimuli that the media puts out. And I mean the media,
exactly.
I mean the corporate media, I mean all of it.
Exactly. And if you question the official story, they have a secondary official story for you, and you get routed in there, and you think you're clever because you
question. They have fallback positions. Yeah.
Like a second net. And, you know, the street movement got going, and if you don't like airplanes running into buildings, making them fall down, we had Bin Laden direct the terrorists into putting, you know, thermite in the building.
Isn't he amazing? That guy, Bin Laden, one of the great magicians of our age.
Yeah, but then the rest of that story is the same. Everything else is still the same. Why did they need to use this technology?
Uh-huh.
And why did they need to expose it to the world and take the risk of somebody identifying it? Well, obvious, it's pretty easy to manage the few people who do, you know, or are able to see it, like I've been managed. What I mean by managed is, the cover-up business.
Of course.
So for a while, the truthers were saying, they wanted to start a war for oil. And so that's why, you know, that was the purpose. Well, that never made sense to me because, you know, you don't have to go to that much trouble. Why not just run an airplane into the building? Why do you have to cause total devastation of the building, total destruction of the building? You know, you just cause some havoc and people get upset and then you can go to war. That was the reason. There's something else to it.
There is. Yeah, there is. We annihilated a country over absolutely nothing except greed and avarice and a lust to kill and feed off the grief and the agony of dying and destroyed humanity. It's really evil.
Want me to talk about something new here?
Sure.
You've never heard before.
Please.
One of the other things I learned is that they tell you what they're going to do before they do it because they don't want to leave your interpretation up to chance.
I call it telegraphing, and you're 100% right.
And so that message would go into the subconscious. Okay, so let's go back to this total destruction. And I call it dustification. The towers went poof. They did not collapse. We can go through a lot of reasons behind that.
Yeah.
But this total destruction, total devastation, so, you know, amazing destruction that it caused people's brains to stop working. They didn't know how to interpret what they saw. And that shut them down. And they kind of became numb and wandered around in stupor. Now, I saw my colleagues, you know, fellow, you know, faculty in the Department of Mechanical Engineering who should be able to think through these things, but they were shut down. it affected them. And it was rather incredible.
Uh-huh.
And so that's something that has always puzzled me, as to how this event just caused the brain to shut down. But things, you know, went into the subconscious, trauma-based mind control comes to mind, you know, that worked easily. So what was the message? The message was total destruction. Okay, what was on the airplanes? You know, Islamists or Muslims equals total destruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's in the subconscious.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so, you know, now, let's say, and they always give you, you know, some other story. I'm going to jump to a different thing. We're going to jump back and forth.
Yeah.
There's something that, you know, I've learned from listening to how various truthers try to cover up what I'm doing or mislead people. Well, it's my interpretation that she says it was a laser beam from outer space. See, they've added that qualifier. You know, I've refuted
talking about you,
space.
Talking
yes.
about you. Now, they have hung so many weird canards around your neck over
right,
the years.
But it's the way they've done it. See, they say, it's my understanding that she's talking about laser beams from outer space or whatever it is. See, they're not stating that they know that's what I'm talking about, so they're not officially lying. They have an out. They have a plausible deniability, so they can't be hung for that,
mm-hmm.
for spreading
mm-hmm.
disinfo. Because
mm-hmm.
they say, oh, well, that's my understanding.
Right.
So I've learned to be very sensitive to that trick that gets played. And so when I heard this thing about all the data breach, that we think it was China. Bing! Touchdown. Where's the evidence it was China? You know, that hacked into the government's computers and got you know, the big data breach.
Yeah.
Where's the proof it was China?
Yeah. There is none.
But that they're planting that seed. So if... For example,
all they have to do is say it, and it's planted. And you're right.
Yeah.
And they can nurture it and grow it and water it and fertilize it, and
yep.
it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The bigger the lie, the easier it is for people to swallow. And the more familiar the lie, the easier it is for them to swallow.
Yep. So let's say they want to take somebody out of circulation and mess them up. Well, they do this identity theft, and the people think it was China doing it. There's nothing to do about it.
I know, it's absurd.
So, because it has no recourse, if people don't look for what really happened.
What we have, Judy, is an ever-diminishing gross intellect among our species, not to mention the war on the Caucasians.
Oh, it's extremely. And that's why I think it's very important for people to read my book, because it's a clear set of evidence that
yeah.
gets people to observe what is right in front of them.
The portions of the book I did read, I did take time and read parts of it. Absolutely fabulous. And
so being able to see and then go back to that day and say, why did I get hoodwinked? And realize what it was right in front of them all along, and so few people on the planet saw it. And the more people can see what's in front of them and understand what's real and what's not and be able to focus and tune out, it's also problem-solving skills, being able to tune out this other stuff. So there's various, you know, things that get dropped like that. Now, knowing that, you know, about that trick with saying that China did it, let's look at another thing. We have this deal with Iran that, you know, Iran's developing nukes
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
yeah, they'll have them in their retail stores by the end of next week.
Right, right. And you know, whatever is going on. So if, for example, let's say, you know, I'm not, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just speculating here. So any listeners don't need to get, you know, haul me off to Gitmo or wherever the hell you do now. But let's say San Francisco gets what people think is nuked. They're going to say, mm-hmm. darn that Obama for making that deal, and now we got nuked. But it turns out it was the same technology that destroyed the towers. That plant is in people's minds that they're now ready to say it was Muslims. Muslims and nukes.
Well, they got enough patsies around, they'll never run out. Never.
Right, but there's you could destroy, you know, tremendous amount of stuff with this technology.
Well, and by the
nobody,
way, just
nobody would see it.
No one would see it. No one understands that today's nukes. If you go back and do a search for Davy Crockett, U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know what this is. In the 1950s, they had an artillery shell that was a nuclear bomb. And they could put it in a large artillery piece, fire it away, five miles or whatever, and it would go off. It was a nuke. And that you could pick it up like the size of a large loaf of bread with a powder charge behind it. It was small. And the point is, they're really small now.
Mm-hmm.
They've made lots of progress. Baseball size, softball size, it doesn't matter.
But this technology is much cleaner. It doesn't.
It doesn't leave the long telltale strain of radioactivity behind it. You're right.
Right. And so, if you wanted to, for example, reboot the planet, let's talk extremes. I'm hypothesizing here. You want to reboot the planet and leave just a few people left, but you don't want people to know what you're doing. You know, they still need people to grow their food for them and, you know, peasants in the field or whatnot. You could take down the whole planet that way without killing life.
Neutron weaponry and probably successors to that or variants?
That kills life, but not physical objects. It's the other way
around. What I was saying, the successors to it. And yes, quite.
And so, being aware of it isn't what you think it is, what you're seeing. And I think things are going to get really crazy in the near future, where it's so important for people to not make assumptions, but to know what it is that they know, that they know that they know, and know that everything else they don't know, and not to make assumptions. Magic tricks are pulled with assumptions. You're led to assume the wrong problem, so you're solving the wrong problem and don't see the right problem. So that's why you don't understand what just happened. Like for example, the magician splits the deck and has a person in the front row draw a first card and show it to everybody. And then he turns around and he has the person slip the card back in the deck, making sure that the magician didn't see. And then he goes through all these fancy shuffling techniques to make sure it's shuffled in there so he can't find it. And after he shows him about 10 different, you know, shuffles, then he whips out the card. Ah, how do you do that? He knew what card it was the person drew.
Mm-hmm.
The magic was up front, or the trick was up front, where people were led to believe it was in the shuffling or something. You know, they're trying to solve the wrong problem.
Right.
And that is how so much stuff is done. And it takes a lot of discipline to know what it is that you know, and not make assumptions, because people are brought up on, you know, cue cards. That's jumping to an answer.
Jumping to answers. Well, you said we were going to be jumping around, and we are.
Well, it was some various samples and to bring that together. But what happened on 9/11 is understandable to, you know, anybody with a fourth grade what used to be a fourth grade education.
Mm-hmm. Now it's about the first.
or it's you need a college degree to understand what we used to understand fourth grade, but it was right in front of people, and that's something that boggled my mind for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't grow up on television. I don't have television.
I took my television away 27 years ago now.
And you end up seeing something different, but now the internet's kind of taken that role over. And
the internet, Judy, in my opinion, and this is really important, the internet is a godlike presence on the planet. It is so powerful, and whatever it is now, it's going to double in the next couple of years, couple, 3 years. It's going to be the most dominant thing in the history of this planet. Through the internet, the controllers will try to exert, and they will exert, their control. They will carve this planet into the shape that they want and the people in it. They'll do whatever they want. It is the most addictive thing I have ever seen humanity involved with. These kids walking around with their smartphones, they can't even turn them off and put them away for 5 minutes. They got to keep looking for text, for voicemail, and if they get it, they all of a sudden have worth. It makes them feel they have worth.
You're absolutely right. And again, that contemplation thing about reading books. They don't do that. And someone was even commenting about now when students come out of class, the first thing they do is whip out their cell phone to see what they missed.
That's exactly right.
Rather than, you know, contemplating.
Movie
what
theaters,
they just
too. You watch in a movie theater, as soon as the film's over, all these screens light up. It's embarrassing.
What about absorbing, you know, like what you just learned in class and discussing it with someone?
Not anymore. Nope.
It's all like sound bites and talking points lists.
Talking heads. You will not teach and learn in class. You will not be taught like you used to be. I can't see it coming back at all. It's just not going to happen.
I can't either. And that was part of what the problem was in 9/11. You know, for a while, there was three things that I saw that kept people from seeing what happened in 9/11. Mm-hmm. I still think it's true. Is the first thing is a lack of
problem solving
skills.
Can you hold on, Judy? Let me take a break.
Okay.
A second. Yeah, and people just stared, and they reacted, and they drooled, and they asked questions, but not the right questions. Hold on. We'll be right back with Dr. Judy Wood, Ph.D. Okay, back with Dr. Judy Wood, and we're talking about 9/11, some of the more eclectic aspects of it, and there are many of those surfacing now. It's been 14 years, and she has learned an awful lot. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, back to my book, Where Did the Towers Go? You know, that's the question that others should have been asking, where's the material? But it went right into their consciousness, memorized talking points of terrorist pile collapse, terrorist pile collapse. And they just memorized that, and so they didn't see what was right before them.
No, they were told to memorize it. That's what they were given.
And instead, you know, it's hard to get people to look again because they have to work through that brainwashing, to put it bluntly. And so what folks have said, and I agree with them, my book is a course in critical thinking. And it had to be to get people through that to see what is there.
Right. You were ahead. Your book was way ahead of its time in some ways. It just was.
But it isn't just about 9/11. It's a book on critical thinking.
Correct.
With
you got it.
Anything.
Absolutely. Yes. It's how to approach the new world order as an individual or a small group. You've got to learn these tools.
Right, and to see what is there and to be careful not to get hoodwinked. And various folks who've gotten to the book, they, you know, it's changed their perspective. When they see other things, they can pick up on these other things very easily. And learn to have tunnel vision of seeing what you know and let go of what you know, and don't know. It's very easy to make assumptions and to speculate, but that doesn't do anything for figuring out what is real. Just think of it if you're in a magic show, and that's what we're in, where things get turned upside down.
Yeah,
including gender confusion.
Oh well, that's been on the roster for years. It's now manifesting itself horribly, hideously. They're telling children as young as 3 and 4 in school that, oh, it's just a lifestyle choice.
They get to pick which gender they are.
Yeah, don't worry.
So they don't know who they are.
No, they don't. And they never will, many of them. They'll live lives of confusion. And that's what the controllers want. They want homogenized chaos and confusion. They're going to get it. It's game, set, and match. They're too much in control. And they will kill us all rather than give that control up. I'm sorry. It's too late to take to the streets. It's too late to sign BS petitions. petitions do no good. It's too late to call your congressman. It's gone.
But save yourself.
That's it. Save yourself and those around you who care to learn.
That's why I'm speaking to the listeners out there, to be able to sort what you know that you know that you know. and to know that everything else you don't know. And I, of course, highly suggest reading my book because it takes you through familiar territory.
It's a multidimensional book.
Yeah,
it really is.
And it's easy to read, and it's gentle going through it. That you look at things, and pretty soon it affects you. It's like, oh, I can see things now for myself. And then, you know, of course, go out in the world and see if you can try it out too, and learn to hold back on not going where they're trying to take you. I guess
everything you're told is
not what's going on.
No, everything you're told is not what's going on at all. It couldn't be more correct. I don't necessarily want to get into the 9/11 tower collapses yet. Anything else you want to put on the table? You put some remarkable points forward already.
I was just going to call you on the collapse. It's hard to discipline yourself because words are very powerful, and they control your thinking.
Well, they used to be amongst people who are intelligent. The mass majority now, words have become banal, hackneyed, they're overused. They just don't, and some of the things going on, I, honest to God, do not have the words to adequately describe them.
Then make a new word.
Well, everybody seems to be. Words change, the language change. It's a fluid language, they tell us now. So, yeah, make a new word.
Yeah, but if there isn't a word to properly describe, you know, a characteristic or a phenomenon, using an existing word to describe it is incorrect.
I agree.
You know, I use the example of, you see this hazy, you know, environment at the World Trade Center. If you call it smoke, you're automatically assuming fire is the cause.
The connection is undeniable. You're right.
So
it wasn't smoke. It was
you find a comfortable benign word.
Fumes works. Perfect. Good for you. Wasn't smoke.
Just like
I used to call it dust, but fumes is better.
Yeah, it's this hazy atmosphere.
Yeah.
Just like pulverization is incorrect. That's kinetic energy that grinds something up.
Correct.
And if it's turning into dust in midair without hitting anything, it can't be pulverization. And vaporization implies
Judy, nobody thinks that deeply. Nobody I know does, and I'm not knocking my friends.
That's why they're hoodwinked about it. That's why they get hoodwinked about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, vaporization isn't true because, you know, thermal energy didn't destroy the buildings. And how I went about the problem solving was, you know, looking at the destructive mechanism.
Right.
And so already I'm saying how we can rule out kinetic energy. The building was not beaten to death.
No.
And we can rule out thermal energy. The building wasn't cooked to death. You know, you have all this unburned paper flying around.
Right.
And you have 14 first responders, well, 13 first responders plus one civilian who were in Stairway B who thought they're goners. They thought they had 106 stories of debris on top of them. But then the dust cleared, they looked up, saw blue sky, and walked out.
It's 20%, isn't it, 20%? Supposedly hard residue left at the bottom of a building demolition, something.
I don't know what that rule of thumb is, but this was a very small fraction.
Yeah.
Of it.
Oh, it's
and
tiny.
They just, you know, looked up, saw blue sky, they couldn't believe it. Like, and then they're on their walkie talkies before that, telling their buddies where they were. We're in, you know, Tower 1, Stairway B. Where are you? Stairway B, Tower 1. They kept saying, and finally the person on the outside said, where's Tower 1? He couldn't see Tower 1. It was gone.
That's true. Wow.
And these guys, one of them described coming out into like an empty football field. Where's the building?
Wow.
It was just missing, but people didn't know, they didn't have an answer for that. So if you're going to jump to an answer,
mm-hmm.
you know, a multiple choice question, you
mm-hmm.
don't have a slot for that. So then they mm-hmm. start putting it into something else.
They do. They certainly do.
It's a tendency.
All right. Hold on a sec, Judy. We have to pause for another couple of minutes. We'll be right
okay.
back. Dr. Judy Wood and yours truly will be right back. Okay, back with Dr. Judy Wood, PhD. And we're talking about 9/11. But more than that, we're talking about really the remaking of the planet, the restructuring of everything, the dumbing down of the average human being. The encapsulizing.
Yes, 9/11 is what really—it was lighting of the fuse for this.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be another similar event with more casualties if they feel they need it?
I think I just described earlier the what kind of thing I think might go on.
Yeah, go ahead and revisit that if you would, just for our listeners who joined us late.
That if you understand what happened on 9/11, like if you've read my book and really understand it, then you might see it. It's in, again, they tell you what they're going to do before, well, because, you know, what happened on 9/11, embedded in your subconscious is a scenario that you're going, so you're going to believe what's going to happen in the future. And it was put in there for a reason. You know, Muslims, total destruction. That's the only conclusion I can come to as to why they had to use this technology and not something else, because it was total destruction. That's what really blew people away.
Yeah. Well, that's an irrevocable subconscious construct now.
Yep.
Even though it wasn't, that's not what happened. It doesn't matter because it's there. It's just, I'll use another example.
It's programming.
It's like the 6 million in the Holocaust. It's a construct. It's there. It's in the subconscious. Never mind the plaques at Auschwitz have gone from 4.5 million down to approximately 1 million. What's the difference? 3 million. Well, it seems to me 3 from 6 million ought to equal 3, but it's still 6 somehow. That's magic with a K.
Yeah, but it's what the programming does. And
that's right.
You know, I was saying how the truthers initially were saying, well, they did it so that we could go to war, you know, for oil.
It wasn't for oil.
And no, you don't need to go to that much trouble. You just run an airplane into the towers, then you can go to war. Why? What required that total dustification of the buildings, total annihilation of the buildings?
Fumigation.
Yeah, it was just gone. Almost, you know, not everything, but almost everything.
They found nothing in the debris. There were no desks. There were no chairs.
The ambulance is parked in front of Tower 1, and you see the ambulance there, and there's nothing left of Tower 1. And that was a 110-story building.
Okay. What does that tell you, folks? Now think. I'm not speaking down at anyone here, but think. How can that be? How can an ambulance be right next to a building that disappears, basically?
And the ambulance is still, intact.
Serviceable. Yeah.
Well, it didn't have any dents on it. The only thing I could see is the door might be a little bit, angled.
Uh-huh.
But there's no dents.
No.
It wasn't clobbered. It wasn't dinged up with anything.
No. No. Yeah, I agree.
And also, if you have bombs in there, shoot things, shoot debris, and all the adjacent buildings would look machine gun fired.
They'd have shrapnel holes in them and all kinds of things, yeah.
Didn't. As a matter of fact, the windows had routed holes in them on the outer pane, while the inner pane is still intact.
Oh, really? And that I don't remember.
There's a part of that in the book. You can see some of the pictures. But there's, I'd love to see a high school kid raise his hand in physics class. Say, teacher, how do they do that? When I hit my baseball through a window, it makes a spider web pattern. The whole window.
See, this is a physics issue. I wish we had a physics expert to come on. You are a physics expert now.
Right. That's why I know that it doesn't work that way, because I'm also a materials expert. Window glass is very brittle.
Mm-hmm.
When something hard hits it, it bows out. Brittle material is not good in tension, but that outer surface would be in tension. That's why it cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crack just propagates through the material.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get a rounded hole in the glass but no other cracks? Just like, how do you get a glass cutter to do it?
Magic.
Well, it's been replicated. Longitudinal waves do that.
Huh.
Energy waves.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You start looking around, you see a lot of strange things, but if somebody didn't know what to think of it, they just tune it out and ignore it. But you look at all the various things, they all add up to the same thing. Now, I say that it wasn't, we're going to revisit that thing, that's right. So you have this total annihilation of the building. But in people's subconscious is drilled in there, Muslims, total destruction. Muslims, total destruction. The airplanes are in there too.
No, it's sure. Airplanes, Muslims, total destruction. Exactly. That's as far and as deep as most subconscious databases will go.
The reason why I know airplanes are in there, because I show people what happened to buildings. They say, we saw the airplanes on TV. I said, you saw, the planes, the buildings turned to dust in midair. Well, yeah, but we saw the planes on TV. Well, airplanes don't turn buildings to dust in midair. Well, you saying there weren't any airplanes? Well, but we saw them. You saying they're fake airplanes? Well, real airplanes don't turn buildings into dust in midair, and neither do fake airplanes.
No, but
so airplanes are a distraction.
It doesn't necessarily exclude the airplane.
Right. Whether they're real or fake,
is
it doesn't
a cover.
Matter.
No, the airplane to me was a cover.
I call it the getaway car.
That's perfect. Very good.
It works on people because they're so emotionally attached to the airplane, they need that dealt with before
they
can.
Well, they also have to have an explanation. They have to have an answer. They can't go around.
Where'd it go? If it didn't end up in the buildings, where is it? But it was very deep into people's psyche, the airplane story. So, yeah, airplanes, Muslims, total destruction. So if you want to...
Daniel Levin. Nobody talks about him. The Mossad agent in one of the planes.
However the story goes, but I just looked at physically what happened to the buildings. So if this programming's in there and other programmings, it's easy to trigger later. So we're going to have total destruction of something, and you're going to believe it was Muslims that did it.
Without even being told. That'll be your reflex. You won't even need to be told.
This,
and then when they show pictures, when they talk about it, it'll just reinforce what's in your subconscious, of course.
And now with this deal with Iran, people worry about Iran, building nukes. That's just so easy. If something happens to a city, Iran must have built their nuke.
That'd be the first scapegoat, fall guy, false flag. Somebody tell me what the Iranians are going to do with a nuke or two if they build them? Can somebody tell me logically what a 3,000-year-old civilization, the Persian Empire?
But it doesn't matter. People are going to believe.
That's what their paradigm is.
A nuke strapped on an airplane is headed this way.
That's what their paradigm will be. And that'll make the false flag a piece of cake.
Yep, that's where I was getting at. Like, I was using for example. I'm not part of this. I'm just saying. For example, San Francisco. If that is totally annihilated, it must have been a Muslim that did it from Iran.
Well, I knew that. No one has to tell me that.
Right. And then let's see what
those Iranians get everywhere. It's amazing how they go everywhere.
And that's stupid. So
I don't want to bring in politics, but that ass Hillary and others will declare war on Iran immediately. It makes you ashamed of being a member of this so-called sentient species. I mean, it really does.
But the way this was built up, and it's like if Iran really was a threat. There's no way these guys should be doing what they're doing. So what other explanation is there other than they're lining this some story up where
they're
going to
be used? They're going to be used. Oh, of course. False flag. Iran.
Yep.
Iranians. And who will be pushing it? The
whoever.
City of London control media. We'll just leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah, whoever's minding the store,
90% of the corporate media in this country, owned by six corporations or five. It's so easy.
But directed by one.
But thank you. Thank you very much. You're correct. It's so damned easy.
That's why I think it's funny about this, like this Donald Trump business. I really can feel like I relate to him because of what's happened with me. It's like they want to shape people's opinions, so you're supposed to hate this guy. So plus they need a distraction.
They are going after him.
And they can't control him. That's the fun part.
No.
They can't control him.
Yeah, I've tried to make that point on this program. He has touched a chord somewhere in this subconscious, this collective subconscious, unconscious, and he's fun. He's different. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him that. I'll never back off from that. The guy is not a seedy liar. He's a billionaire. He's made a lot of money. We live in that kind of environment.
They don't like people they can't control.
No. Oh, no. That's why it's said that Hillary was booted out last time. They couldn't control her.
Yeah, what I see, in how Trump was managing things, it's really been kind of fun watching. But it was reminiscent of, I was learning as I went. And how badly the truthers, were trying to control me, and it wasn't working. And so they start throwing everything on it. It just drives them nuts when they can't control you.
Absolutely. Okay, we have to pause here for our top of the hour break. Dr. Judy Wood is our guest. We'll come right back. Another hour to go with Judy, so stand by. Okay, let's get going. Hour number two on this 9/11, this 14th anniversary. One of the greatest false flag con jobs ever. They killed allegedly around 2,700 people, and look at the mileage they got out of it. My God. On this highway and byway system of our country, we kill 45,000 a year. A year. That's a round average, but it's about right. And you talk about what you can do by killing 2,700. And they killed the accounting team at the Pentagon, which was going after the missing 2.5 approximately billion, or was it trillion?
Or so we're told.
So we're told. So we're told. This is all part and parcel of the potential that we've been talking about for the last hour.
I learned to separate out what we're told from what, I myself can see. To the point that when I was in my research, and books say that Tesla discovered X, Y, and Z. Well, how do I know? That's a story in a book. And then I discovered this person who lives in the here and now and can replicate that. Oh, I want to go visit that person because then I can see it myself and not just believe it. And that becomes more and more important to be able to see things directly, which is why my book has to be as extensive as it is. And
it's not just a picture book of the destruction of the towers. Okay, I hope we've gotten that across, folks.
Yep.
At all, it's almost a philosophical paradigm of interpretation skills that most people will never dream of.
And it has to be that way to get people to see it, because you have to remove the scales off the eyes. But the other thing that has to be learned is to break the habit of jumping to a conclusion. You hear one thing, you automatically assume the answer. That's a human tendency. For example, this first responder who was down on FDR Drive saw a car that appeared to go into spontaneous combustion. He needed an explanation for it, so he assumed a fireball came down from the towers, rolled down the hill, and hit the car. Because why else would the car go into spontaneous combustion? Then he had his answer. But once you have that answer, you quit looking at what's going on. So it's important to just notice what you know that you know. The answer will come to you if you look at the evidence long enough. If you don't know what happened, keep listening to the evidence until you do. Don't force the evidence to go where you want it to go. Let it show you. And that becomes kind of frustrating for a lot of people because they want to just get the answer. Be comfortable with not knowing the answer. Like, we don't know what they're going to pull.
Yeah, now that's another interesting statement. Learning to be comfortable without knowing the answer, without having the facts to draw the conclusions from, but without knowing the answer, because the answer is what we're given. The answer doesn't need to have legs, doesn't need to have clothes. It's an answer.
And one example of that I think everyone can relate to, no matter what their beliefs are, that they remember there were supposed jumpers out of the towers, lots of them. Why were they jumping? We don't know. You know, people must have had rip-roaring hot fires in there. That's why they're jumping. That's an assumption that gets made. But if you just keep looking, okay, they're coming out, but that's a lot more than, you know, this one firefighter in all of his time on the force, 20 years, he'd never seen anybody jump but one, and that's when they had to coax out of a second floor window into a net. You know, it just doesn't make sense. There's like 1,200 people that came out of the North Tower. So what's going on here? And just to be comfortable with that piece of information, you don't have to say why. You just know that's unusual.
Very much so. Yeah.
Or the fact that there's a Category 3 hurricane that was aimed towards New York City for 4 days, and it stopped right outside of New York City. Did they use it? I don't know, but it's mighty strange they didn't mention it. It was just there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what has Judy Wood learned in the last 4 years since you were last on the program? But just in round general descriptions, what kinds of things have come into your consciousness? What kinds of hard facts have come into your consciousness? What have you learned?
Well, that's been one of the things, talking about how easy it is to put in subconscious programming.
Oh, and it's that, pathetically easy.
Yeah,
it's
that
so
on 9/11, people's brains were just shut down and they became zombies. And looking at just what's happening to our culture, and it's I think we're toast.
Well, zombie America, we are toast. We're not going to. If anybody thinks that we're going to rehabilitate what we had 30, 40 years ago, They're delusional. It's not going to go backward. It's only going forward. We're going down and out this ugly black vortex. Where we're coming out, I don't know. But there's no going back. I do know that.
But to hang on to your sanity, it's so important to know what it is that you know, that you know, that you know, because there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on and a lot of misinformation. Probably 99.999% of what you hear will be misinformation. It may not even be deliberate. One person hears one thing and says it's something else, and, you know, but just to be able to sort that out is so important, and it's a lot harder said than done. There's something that comes to mind is a book I read in high school. On the Beach by Neville Shute.
Oh, sure.
There's a scene in that book that's described. The woman in, you know, here it says nuclear holocaust. It's, you know, life is ending on Earth. But she has to go out and plant her spring flowers.
Do you know?
For a spring that's never going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are doing that now. They're planting their spring flowers, you know, in that sense.
That's a good point.
They can't handle what's happening, so they'll just pretend it's not happening.
What really makes me sick is that these drooling oligarchs that we have are already thinking of what they can do with Mars, and they're going to go trash Mars.
Mm.
They're going to terraform it. They are.
Yeah, it's. There's a kind of a joke I used to have about certain truthers, that, you know, why are they doing what they're doing? That maybe they're promised a green ticket, you know, like they're going to get on the bus to take them to Mars for safety.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
And then I felt like telling them, no, it's not the green ticket, it's the purple ticket. You got hoodwinked.
They're talking about now getting there in a matter of a couple of months rather than years. They've got a new propulsion system, looks like a donut, looks like a UFO is what it looks like.
With this technology that we're talking about?
I think we're already there and have been there for quite some time.
This technology was, it was a patent on 100 years ago, over 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in my book. And you know for sure that it's gone underground. But looking at other things, you know, picking up data points, not knowing what the end point is, but let's extrapolate.
Uh-huh.
When did we first see propeller planes? Then we saw, it's turn of the century, propeller planes, then jet airplanes, and then we have a space shuttle, and then what? Nothing?
All gone. No need.
Yeah, meanwhile, we have, this development of microchips and so forth that we didn't have back then, but why hasn't transportation improved since then? It just came to a halt in the, you know, around 1980. That was it. Or actually the mid-70s.
Nobody seems to have noticed either. It's just, it was like mission accomplished, period, done. That's it.
Yeah, the technology has just come to a halt or even, you know, gone backwards a little bit in terms of that.
Yeah.
But noticing what is happening and just, you know, pretend you're watching a show.
Uh-huh.
Or a novel or something. It's,
well, we are watching a show. It's a show. It's a staged show worldwide. The only thing is that we're still in the Colosseum. People are still being sacrificed, killed, murdered, painfully gotten rid of. The same kind of mentality is there. It's now sitting on a bed of technology that is not to be challenged, unless you're on the inside and you have control of some of it. We don't. We are on the outside. That's the way it's going to stay.
Right. But we can, you know that it exists. And what happened in 9/11?
Oh, knowledge
right in front
is
of us.
Everything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right in front of us is undeniable. You know, you can't deny it, even though. But that's the thing that really blew me away is how many people saw it around the world and very few recognized it, or the ones who did, you know, kept their mouths shut.
Correct.
Yeah, I was one of the foolish people to hold, to open my mouth.
Yeah.
But you know, back to what happened on the towers, you know, we can, you know, look at it, and what do we know that we know? Can rule out kinetic energy. The building wasn't beaten to death. Rule out thermal energy that wasn't cooked to death.
Correct.
So the term I call it, you know, I'm just looking at the destructive mechanism. You don't need to talk about weapons. We're looking at the destructive mechanism, what happened.
Uh-huh.
When you see the solid material, you know, turn to dust, so something told the energy in that material, instead of the atoms being attracted to each other, they're now repelling each other. And I call that directed energy, as in the energy is being instructed or directed to do something differently than it normally does.
It can come from satellites. It can be airborne, I would imagine.
It doesn't matter. It can happen.
Yeah.
You know, we have proof it exists because
it can be bounced off the ionosphere and brought back down, too. I mean, a lot of things possible.
I tend to shy away from the name dropping, like things of HAARP.
Yeah,
because
HAARP's
because
old stuff.
It's classified technology, and so we don't know what it does. But people like to throw that name around, and so I say it is...
You know what else they throw around? The word quantum.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I hear quantum hair shampoo. Everything's quantum. No, you ask them to define quantum, and they can't.
You know what HAARP stands for?
High Altitude Auroral?
No, High Amplitude Advancement of Real Propaganda.
Ah, better yet.
Because there's this name dropping, and people shut off their brains when they have something to blame it on.
Uh-huh.
So, it was HAARP. It was HAARP. Then, you know, they don't need to get in any further to look at, you know, what happened. It was HAARP. Or was this? Was that? It was scalar weapons. It was torsion physics.
Now, there's another one. Scalar.
Yep.
What is scalar, Judy?
Well, a scalar is a magnitude without direction. But, you know, they use it in another sense. But
they do.
It's just this name dropping.
Thank you. Very nicely said.
In my chapter 20, the conclusions of it, I go into why, you know, I don't name drop trendy terms. Because as soon as you name something, people, it's like pulling a veil of mystery over it. They have a name now, and they quit looking at what it does, whatever it was. And so, I actually do name it in the book by the symptoms of it. I call it magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions. That's what gets caused from it. But if you name drop, you quit thinking. But instead, we know what it did, and that is the vital thing.
Right.
It is building turned into powder in midair. The solid objects,
steel girders, come on, all that just turned to dust.
Yeah, and they didn't crash the ground. We have plenty of evidence of that.
No, they turned to dust and blew around our fumes.
And, yeah, Gone with the Wind. You see these guys coming out of their hiding places, and wait, where's Tower One? And you see just bare pavement in front of them, except it has dust on it and a couple of pieces of aluminum cladding.
Right.
There were some, you know, steel wheat checks around, but not very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the seismic signal did not reflect anything slamming to the ground. There was
it wasn't there. I remember that now. Yeah, the seismology wasn't there to back it up.
Yeah, there's three kinds of waves, F-wave, P-wave, and surface wave. Surface wave was there, but no S-wave or P-wave. Those two travel through the Earth. One, they travel at different rates. You remember with like an earthquake, the P-wave gets there first, and then the S-wave, and you look at the time lag between them, and you can know how far away the epicenter is. And they're just missing. And all of the events that happened that day in New York, the supposed plane-shaped holes that appear in the buildings,
yeah.
Both of those, there's a surface wave, but not a S wave or P wave, and the demise of the three big buildings. And that actually, with Building 7, it's six times the size of the Seattle King Dome that they blew up in controlled demolition with a lot of seismographs around town.
Right.
It made a 2.3. But when Building 7 went away, that's six times the potential energy, it made a 0.6 on the Richter scale, which is calculated from surface weight.
I didn't know that.
It's like a one story worth of, or two stories.
Yeah. That's remarkable. So what does that tell us? By the time
the
it hit the
didn't
ground,
slam to the ground.
No, by the time it hit the ground, it was already fumes.
Yes, and it also turned to fumes all afternoon. You saw all this stuff pouring out of that building all afternoon.
Uh-huh.
From one side only, for almost all the afternoon until just before its demise. Then it started pouring out of the eastern face as well.
Right.
From ground to roof, which was really weird. Because fires, they burn up all the fuel in one office, and they move to the next office and burn that up, move the next
right.
office. They don't. It isn't like a 7-hour burn over the whole building uniformly.
I have ever since you were first on, and it must be 10 years ago. I don't remember. But you've been on several times over the years, and I'm always grateful to spend time with you. My personal feeling is that they were using shaped nuclear charges to possibly gut the core 13 towers, 13 columns, and directional energy weapons of some kind or kinds from exterior locations, which is what your book really
brings to light. I can disprove it. I can disprove that.
Okay.
Well, directional energy weapons, you're thinking of, a point and shoot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a volume affected, a force field kind of thing. And force fields that intersect that cause whatever's happening in there to, do something differently that normally does.
You discount nuclear, nuclear
yep,
push?
There's several reasons why you can discount nukes. There's a piece of data that was missing on 9/11.
Uh-huh.
You know what data that was for
Tell
nukes?
Me.
It would be a real bright light.
Hmm.
There wasn't any big bright light. Also, it'd be lots of heat.
Well, now there are people who say that not necessarily with the current technology that we have, that they change.
What is a
I don't have the facts. I don't have the access to the data. I can't tell you.
There's something about a minimum.
Why couldn't we use both, Judy? We don't have facts.
I'm talking about what destructive mechanism did it cause? See, I'm not talking about a weapon. I'm talking about the destructive mechanism. What happened to the material? The material.
That's where you come in. That's where the exterior.
What do you mean where I come in? I'm not talking about a weapon.
I didn't call it a weapon either.
I'm talking about what happened to the material.
They turned to powder, fumes.
Right, right. And without high heat. Actually, the temperature was cooler than ambient temperature.
Well, now, okay, what do we have to, and I hear people out there, the few who are informed, when they were at the bottom of the debris field and they were finding liquid molten pools weeks later. That suggests,
but it wasn't hot.
It suggests
it wasn't
heat.
Hot. It was rolling over a piece of paper, and the paper wasn't burning.
What? Wait. The pools of liquid metal.
Well, there's no photos of that.
Yes, there are.
Wading through it, but there's evidence that there was no high heat right after the event.
Okay.
The whole thing is covered with water. There's a broken water main, and it was a lake. And then you have firemen walking through the lake.
I'm not in a position to dispute anything. All I'm doing is raising issues.
Okay, but what I'm pointing out is why you can say there's no high heat. Right afterwards, in the destruction of the buildings, a water main was broken and all of the area flooded. And you have firemen walking through that water, and they don't look like boiled chicken. There's no steam coming off of that water. It's not hot.
Got it.
So how do you have anything super hot in there?
Do we have nukes that don't give off much heat anymore?
Then they're not a nuke. I'm not saying there was no nuclear reaction. I'm saying there's no nuke bombs. No, big ones, small ones, in between size ones. Nothing that goes boom or with a high heat.
No, I'm not talking about that either. I'm suggesting if there were any, they were quite small and strategically placed.
Yeah, there was nothing.
And your weapons came in.
I'm not talking about weapons. I'm talking about what happened to the building, the destructive mechanism.
Whatever you want to call it. Your modality of turning the building into fumes came into play.
Well, that's
from an exterior source.
You know, there was no high heat.
Okay, I'm suggesting
guys who walked out of Stairway B didn't remember being burned to death.
Well, they wouldn't if they were, and you're right.
There's no burning paper. The paper didn't burn.
What technology, for our listeners, was used to turn the buildings to fumes? What do you call it?
I'm just calling it, whatever caused this destructive mechanism. It wasn't kinetic energy. It wasn't thermal energy. It was directed energy. And I describe that as energy was instructed to do something differently than it normally does. Instead of the atoms being attracted to each other, they're instructed to repel each other.
Okay.
And why couldn't that be something
the Department of Defense and the Pentagon would love and would be drooling to get their hands on?
Of course, of course. But what I'm saying is that there's no evidence of high heat. It's the opposite. But what this does, there is a nuclear reaction, a very low-level nuclear reaction that is part of this. That's why I call it magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions.
Okay.
And that's where the tritium came from. If it was a nuke, you'd have sky high levels of
I'm not a nuclear physicist. I don't know what they're going to give off. You mentioned tritium, okay?
But there's actually a section in my book about it, that very thing.
All right.
A tremendous amount of
very exotic, very eclectic. Force was brought to bear on those buildings.
Yeah, page 373 in the book, and 374 and 375. But I also point out, you think they could have kept Chernobyl a secret? What happened at Chernobyl? It was measured around the globe.
Well, it polluted and contaminated almost all of Europe, and they still won't talk about it.
Right, and what was used at the World Trade Center didn't do that.
No, and I'm saying that I'm suggesting that there are nuclear weapons now that may not give off heat signatures and may not leave residual radioactivity. Yeah.
Maybe what you're calling, what I'm saying, created the.
I think we may be on the same page here.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I'm saying the destructive mechanism was directed energy. The energy was directed to do something differently than normal.
I'm 100% on board with you on that.
Okay,
absolutely.
And the result of whatever this gizmo was created these various traces of stuff that was left behind, one of which is it shows that it was a nuclear reaction. There's other things that show it, too. For example, the dust cloud rolls out a certain distance and then goes up. Isn't that weird? It goes up and up and up.
Yeah, it's very strange, very unorthodox. It doesn't look like normal physics.
Yeah, here's a secret that I may not have mentioned then. I wasn't putting out speculation in my book, but now it's become more and more clear. But went out, and now imagine it has little tiny hydrogen balloons, and they're helium balloons.
Okay.
I'm sorry, helium balloons in the dust that, you know, take it up.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, when you get nuclear reactions like with cold fusion, a type of cold fusion, it generates helium.
Oh, interesting.
In the process.
Interesting.
So here you have this dust rolling out, and then just before it hits the building where Bob and Bree were filming, it doesn't quite touch their window. It starts going up, and it's like rising yeast bread. It goes up and up and up. It's really weird. And I think it gets its part of the
reaction. So there was some helium. There was helium in there somehow created?
That's what it appears to be.
That's very interesting.
And that's not something somebody on the street would pick up. They're busy, you know, running from the dust cloud.
Oh, my God. They're not going to pick that up.
It's kind of, you know, so you look at how the dust rolls out, and then at a certain point, like where the South Tower went first, it rolled out to one street and then, you know, abruptly stopped. When the North Tower went, it rolled out past that to the next street and stopped. And the two towers were a block apart, so it rolled out the same distance before it went up. It was the same point in the reaction.
Yeah, interesting. Willie Rodriguez, wonderful guest on this program many times, the last man out, whatever. Your thoughts about Willie's story about being down? I guess he was at level 2 below ground, helping people up from level 3.
Yeah. When somebody's story has some falsehoods in it, you know, he has some truth in it, but when it has falsehoods in it, I can't pick and choose data. I have to throw out the whole data set.
Okay.
And that's what it came to.
That's science. That's called science, real science.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not a scientist, so he could have been, you know, extending things. You know, he was at different places. He saw the airplanes, didn't see the airplane. Wait, wasn't he in the basement? You know, there's a lot of confusion. He also thought he saw Muhammad Atta in a bathroom making measurements a month before the building, you know, the
event
happened.
In his green Speedos.
Hear something, and so when you hear stories like that, you just have to tune it out and not rely on that. Yeah, it's the only scientific way to go instead of picking and choosing. But there was stuff happening, you know, like it was 58 minutes or 59 minutes that the South Tower stood before it went poof. It was deteriorating that entire time.
Yeah,
and that's of course why people are going out the windows.
Okay, so what you're saying, all right, what I'm hearing you say is that whatever, I won't call it a weapon, whatever force was used on these buildings was already...
Whatever technology
was underway, and it drove those people out from inside because the building was being turned to fumes. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and the guy hanging out the window, dangling from the 105th floor, looks like he's hanging by a hand and a foot, taking his pants off. Why would it necessitate, whatever reason he had to take his pants off, why would it necessitate taking him off, dangling outside the building from a hand and a foot? You know,
Good question.
Then you notice other people have shirts off and pants off, and... You know, you start thinking, is there, you know, does he have a polyester clothes on? Or is he, you know, go to the restroom to get wet before you lose water pressure?
Well, and people are going to say, well, it's just the fires caused so much heat in there, they couldn't stand it, da-da-da. That's what they say.
You didn't see any smoke coming out those windows. And even
if there was
smoke, whatever reason you have to take the pants off, let's not worry about that. Let's say there's smoke in there. Well, see, okay, you take a big, deep breath, you step in, take the pants off, and step back out.
Right.
What necessitates taking the pants off outside the building? And the more I looked at the data, and also Melissa Doy, who called 911, says, I'm hot, I'm burning up, really hot, right? I can't breathe, I'm choking. That's not somebody who's really hot. This went on for 5 minutes. And at first I thought it was fake, but then I got to realize, you know, if it's real, it could be she believes she's burning up. Like, imagine if you were being hit by a field of microwave energy. It would be making your surface of your skin feel like it was burning up. If she was really hot, you know, there's a limit to how long you can stay in the hot tub because you can't function, your muscles can't function
if you're
overheated.
Uh-huh.
And she described this, and you never heard her choking. And there's a lot of examples of that in the building coming apart. And there was a woman who, with her friend, wetted down towels, put them on their heads. This is the South Tower. Called her husband, said she's on her way down. She'll call him when she gets to the bottom. Everything's fine. Two or three stories later, out the window she went. So we knew she was wet because she described
something was going on, Judy, if I can speak for you, inside those buildings that was intolerable to life as we recognize it, and those people were being forced to flee. And I mean straight out.
Right. And like there's this one guy who looks like he's flapping his wings. It's like, how to get out here? He was just jumping away from something horrendous and in the process ended up outside the building. And so that also...
when those buildings fell, Judy, they were already fumes.
To
a large degree.
Yeah, there's one guy who, it's kind of a cute story. He's a probationary firefighter. It's his first day out on the scene.
Oh, God.
And he's with his boss, and he's supposed to do everything his boss says. You know, no ands, ifs, or buts. Yes, sir, yes, sir. They get to the 23rd floor of North Tower, and something's happening, and his boss says, drop everything. And it turned out it was the South Tower, you know, turning to dust. Okay, then they continue on. A few stories later, his boss says, well, where's your face mask? Well, boss, you said to drop everything. Okay, you got to get out of here. You don't have your face mask. So the kid starts down the stairs by himself, and he gets to the third floor, and he describes a total blackout that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, but he knew it wasn't smoke because you could breathe. There was oxygen. It was the building turning to dust. And he got outside and got just a little bit away from the building, and there it went poof. So it was just before he got out, the building was indeed coming apart. There's a lot of different pieces of evidence of that. Now, again, people don't know what the answer is. They have to jump to a conclusion. They call it smoke.
Okay. The gizmo, the technology involved, is in the possession, in the hands of people. I would rather not have something like that.
And the more we know about it, if half the people on the planet read my book, this would be under control. And if people can identify it, they see it again, they go, somebody's used it. They're less likely to use it. If people can't identify it, it's more likely to be used. But just going after the person who pushed the start button isn't going to do anything because you have 10 more lined up to take over.
Right.
The technology is out there. And so the meaning of title of my book, Where Did the Towers Go? And then the subtitle, Evidence of Directed Free Energy Technology on 9/11. What I mean by that is a couple of different things is, it's a silver lining in the dark cloud. We could use it for free energy. What I mean by that is naturally occurring energy. It's clean energy.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other side of it is, this is what happened is proof that a technology exists that can do what was done.
Correct.
The building's mostly turned to dust.
And that was 14 years ago, Judy.
Right. So the building mostly turned to dust in midair. So this is evidence that such a technology exists that can do what was done.
It existed then, and it's been probably refined over 14 years.
So that's why I have that subtitle. It's evidence that such a technology exists, but it can be used for good things. It doesn't have to be used for bad things. But it's evidence that exists. Various folks try to say that's a theory. No. We saw the building turn dust in midair. So, obviously, something that can turn buildings to dust in midair must exist. That's the proof it exists. I don't need to give you the serial numbers. This is a pile of evidence, but we know it exists. And, of course, it's going to be used again, and I'm sure it has been used. I haven't studied other events quite as strongly, but there's some that, I have a suspicion on, such as Oklahoma City. With those cylindrical cutouts in the building. How does a bomb on the street make cylindrical cutouts in a building?
How many years prior was that?
Was it 97? No, 95, I think it was. No, it was either 95 or 97, one of those years. But I do know 2007 was that bridge in Minneapolis.
Oh, yes.
And I was there right afterwards. There was some weird stuff going on. They had it in total lockdown, like you know, a mile away. They closed down adjacent bridges so nobody could take pictures, you know, look over.
Right.
But the bridge, all the supports gave way at the exact same moment. Something that a lot of folks don't know is that half the bridge was closed down for road work. So even though it was rush hour, it only had half the load that it had for the past, you know, year. So why is it suddenly giving way with half a load on it? And then it goes down into the river, and people ride their cars down, and they get out. You know, it stayed that horizontal. There was, I think, six people who died.
OKC was 1995.
Yeah. Okay. It's so there, and there's also what do you call it? The Khobar Towers. The front came off that, like somebody took a knife through it. You know, you can't have a bomb on the street and have.
Well, there's some pretty damned amazing technology out there that that is being kept top secret, clearly.
It, with the Oklahoma City, you had toasted cars and a lot of interesting, you know, down the street.
Right. All right, hold on a sec. We have to do a little bit of business, Judy, and we'll come right back. Dr. Judy Wood, Ph.D., her remarkable book. Again, I hope you'll get a copy if you haven't and take a look. It's really something. Where is the easiest place to get the book, Judy?
Where did the towers go? .com. That's all one word. And there's a choice of places to get it there, or you can go to Amazon and look up Where Did the Towers Go, or look at my name and you find it.
We can go to your website.
Yep.
Dr. Judy Wood, DrJudy Wood.com.
That's an old website, but I've left it as is, sort of a filing cabinet of a whole lot of data. Because as I was working on the book, as well as my federal QTAM case, you know, I know that dead people keep secrets, and I didn't want to be one of those, so I wasn't keeping secrets. I was putting the stuff there.
Yeah. Have you had many threats?
You don't get threats. I think you're in the most danger before you know you are. And things happened to me early on.
That just happened to me in April.
Stuff happens. But I've had some really nasty things happen to me. But this, you know, like I said in the introduction chapter, when I first told my mom I had to do this, she said, "Well, you won't have a job." And I said, "If I don't, nobody will." That was my response. If I don't, nobody will. And I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I described this technology in the book as magnetic electrogravitic nuclear reactions. It's a type of reactions. It does, you know, nuclear is in there, but it's not a nuke bomb. They also put off a shockwave. There was no shockwave associated with the event.
No, nothing on the seismographs to sustain any normal contentions of a large mass hitting the ground either. They're not
right. There. Right, so that's why I say you rule out nuke bombs.
Yeah,
you know,
John,
I
never have believed that nuclear weapons, nuclear technology by itself did this, ever. No.
Or even in conjunction with anything else. This is one of the nuclear byproducts are part of the remnants of what this does.
Okay.
It does create a nuclear reaction, like we're talking about.
Measurable radionuclides?
Well, the tritium that's measured, it has a half-life of about 12 and a half years, but there's a bunch of it. It's like 50 times normal, was measured in the basement of Building 6 afterwards. And, you know, kind
of. Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so that's why I went into I looked at all of the data. Okay, what would explain this? And it can't be explained by anything, you know, normal. But it's also, you know, it would be 18,000 times that. If it was a nuke bomb, or lots of little nuke bombs. That's why it's a nuclear process, but not a nuke bomb.
I forgot which story it was. It was closed off months and months before, 16th floor or something like that in one of the towers.
Yeah, what does that have to do with what happened?
It didn't? Well, they were moving things in
there. No, I'm saying, what does that have to do with what happened? It is a distraction of, they powered down this and they did this. I'm looking at, you start out with the most gross level is what happened to buildings? They mostly turned to dust in midair.
That's the big question. What happened to them? John Hutchison, I mentioned him at the beginning of the program. What is John's stance on this now? He's been a supporter of yours from the beginning.
Oh yeah, and still is. He's entitled to have a fun life. He's using this to try to clean up things from Fukushima in his area by trying different wavelengths and intersecting with different...
Well, I've been on the story of Fukushima every week, every Monday, the third hour. We do an hour on it. I do other times during the week. I'll do reports on it.
Yeah.
We've been on it from the beginning, and bless John. He tried to help in the Gulf of Mexico blow out, too, and they rejected it.
This technology could be used to clean up Fukushima. But Fukushima is the way it is because somebody wants it that way.
Uh-huh.
But also, if they did use it to clean up Fukushima, that would require, a secondary effect would be disclosing this technology exists.
Well, they won't disclose. No way.
Right. So they want it to be the way it is.
No, they're letting us die to keep their little damn secret of their super advanced technology they probably got from E.T. somewhere.
So you can see why it's important to be able to observe just what happens. There's no way you can, argue around this. Now, what John Hutchison's work shows is all of the same phenomena that he can reproduce, including, the tritium issues.
He showed that. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, as well as...
You're talking about transmutation of radioactive nuclides, ultimately.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. His stuff isn't really very well controlled. It's like sometimes he gets this, sometimes he gets that, depending on the shape of the wave, the relative strength, and some other issues. But he's reproduced all the things. Sometimes you get levitation, sometimes you get dustification.
Mm-hmm.
And if things aren't grounded, they tend to, get toasted, kind of like the toasted cars up on rubber tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder about, as tall as the tower was, it can build up a charge faster than it can discharge.
Have you figured out or projected any size of components for this technology? How big would it have to have been, perhaps? Do you have any idea?
It's how you use it. If you know the makeup of it is.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at how John Hutchison does it. He creates a static field, and within the static field, he intersects various radio frequency signals. For example, like microwave.
Uh-huh.
Sound familiar? He uses a Van de Graaff generator. He used to use a Tesla coil. Okay, this is a possibility. I don't have proof of this, but I do have proof there was this huge hurricane there that day. What do hurricanes do? They create a static field. Well, it turns out that the three major airports surrounding Manhattan all reported thunder that day.
Huh.
I mean, so we had dry thunder. That shows that the field effects of the hurricane covered that area. Okay, so here we have a static field. All you need is a microwave field to replicate what Hutchison was doing.
Understood. Simplified. Tremendous.
Yeah. There's another, I'm not saying I have proof that was used. It very well could have been, and especially the strangeness of its path, and they didn't evacuate the city.
Judy, we don't have a lot of time, but you're charting and documenting what actually happened to those structures is phenomenal. And I just
Else I want to mention.
Okay, we have three minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. The static field intersecting with the radio frequency signal. You remember in beginning of the summer of 2008, we suddenly started getting these super-duper mega tornado systems in the Midwest?
Right.
And it's like every year. Well, normally you get tornadoes moving through the Midwest, normal storm systems with a static field around them. It turns out, was it February 2009, we're required to switch over to digital television. So that meant the summer of 2008, they're putting in brand new radio frequency transmission towers.
Wow.
So you have a static field moving through with maybe unintended consequences, but it
Got
starts
it.
To make you worry about why they had to make that switchover.
Got it. Wow.
Because, we do know what Hutchison can do, and then you see that there's reason to see it there. And you remember those birds that fell out of the sky?
Uh-huh.
There's a storm system that just moved through there past some radio towers. I looked it up right afterwards and saw that.
Right.
So, very likely could have been from that.
And all those antelope that died? Oh, forget how many.
Yeah.
Lots.
But there can be unintended consequences, or maybe it's going to be intended. Who knows?
Well, we don't know. We just don't know.
But what's important is we know what the physics does.
Okay.
Static field interfered with radio frequency signals, and you get these weird things happening.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, we have about a minute left, Judy. What do you want to do to wrap this up? Anything you want to leave people thinking about? You presented it so perfectly in the first hour.
I think it's so important for people to read my book. It's not that I'm pushing my book.
No, you never have. I know.
They can check it out at the library. But to go through it from front to back and just go through it, it will help you learn to see what is in front of you. And that will be so vital.
It'll help you understand what's being done to you right now and what the plans are. I mean, it's right there.
They're scrambling people's thinking, and the perfect example of it is on 9/11. People's minds were shut down from this trauma, and all sorts of subconscious things were put in there. So when you are told or led to believe, airplanes, Muslims, and see total destruction, start thinking about this weapon having been used.
The aerial shots showing a circular hole in one of the adjacent buildings in the complex.
No, building six was missing.
Six. Gone.
That's the one that had the high tritium levels measured.
Would that suggest satellite origin?
Not necessarily, because Hutchison had zones, cylindrical zones missing in some of his samples.
Huh. Oh, really?
It just is something that happens. Imagine drawing a straight line in space between two points, and then everything at a radial distance from that line gets dustified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these just happen to be vertical, and they went into the ground as well.
Most interesting. Well, my friend, it's been great to talk to you again. We'll follow up maybe in another 4 years or less. God knows. Maybe we can get together after the next false flag event and chat about that. It's coming. They'll do it. I don't know what, when, or where, but that'll happen. Judy, thank you so much for doing everything you've done for all of us. Seriously.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. And you take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, you bet, Judy. Good night.
Good night.
Dr. Judy Wood,